Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Well, 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 you missed us. We were on a hiatus and we're back.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute, but we're back.
It's the Fashion Hags.
It's happening.
Back at ya. Thank you for your patience.
Yes. There's a
it's
bunch
been a
of
little
shit
bit
that's
of
happened.
A hiatus, yes. Mostly because Abby packed up her house
and moved
it to another house.
So there was no microphones
so
available.
The studio did not exist for a while. So we'll forgive her for that,
yes.
I suppose.
And then life got in the way, too. And
Yeah.
It happens. But we're here.
But we're here in the new house. It's the first time in the new place.
First time in the new studio.
Gorgeous new house.
It's
gorgeous new studio. I got the full tour. Margot showed me her room and the playroom and then scolded me for talking too loud because Poppy was having
and scolded you in a very loud voice.
In a very loud. That's true. That's true.
We need to be quiet.
Uh-huh. I was like, oh, I'm really sorry.
This is a four-year-old who has no control over the volume of her voice.
No. It was adorable.
Yes. But we're back. I'm happy to be here. It's a Sunday morning, a beautiful Sunday morning after a very rainy, gross week, which is nice.
Yeah. And we usually record in evenings, but this is a nice,
we haven't
sunny
had a weekend
day.
One in a while.
So it's nice.
Awesome. And then you still got the rest of the day ahead of you, which is also good.
We
took upstairs and chatted for a while too. So
yeah, I know we haven't seen each other in the same room in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Quite some time.
It's been a minute.
So this is episode, what did we say?
71. According to David's notes.
And
on
this
the computer.
Is our third Hagiversary episode.
Yes.
Oh, can you believe it?
Yay!
First week in November. It was a Hagiversary week.
So we have a sort of a special format for today's episode because we're excited to see each other. So much has happened. And it's our anniversary episode, so this is, get ready, all obsessions, all the time.
Non-stop obsessions.
Pew, pew, non-stop obsessions.
I don't even think we need a little Kiki at the beginning to like catch up, because catch up as we go.
There's 10,000 things that have happened since we recorded last.
How are we going to choose?
I mean, we could talk about...
And they'll just come up as we talk about the stuff we're talking about.
Most likely.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. You guys, we're back. Everything is good.
This microphones are turned on.
We're trying to find out the right sight lines.
Yes.
And like, I'm
the
doing
new
a lot
table.
Of swiveling.
Yes, mm-hmm. The new table we're sitting at.
But it's good.
Trying to figure out which way to swing my chair so I'm
like, yeah.
Except now it's got on the carpet. Oh, well. Okay. I think I'm good.
I'll figure it out.
Oh,
my knee. Just bash your knee.
There we go. That's fine. That's
behind the scenes, you guys.
Yeah,
it's
there
all
you go.
Real.
All the
seeing
time.
How the sausage is made.
More like hearing how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
Which is maybe
gross.
Grosser?
Yeah.
ASMR?
Maybe grosser.
Yeah.
No! No! No, thank you! No more sausage!
Oh, boy. Alrighty. Well, anybody want to get us going?
Well, I'm going to start mine off real quick. I got a new tattoo has been a long obsession for like a few months.
Yeah.
So, Evan hasn't seen it.
Yes.
No. My new tattoo.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
It was done by a local artist named Olivia Harrison, who's Fear Bear on Instagram. She's amazing. She does beautiful florals. And
it's black and white line drawings.
Yeah, line drawings.
So simple and precise and beautiful.
And clean and not too dark and not too light. And yeah. It's a dogwood flower, so it's a provincial flower of BC,
mm-hmm.
and it's really pretty.
It's one of the flowers I have on one of my feet.
Yes, I was going to ask you that.
I have a dogwood as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and it's the reason I got it is it was a birthday present from my husband, mm-hmm. and we talked a long time ago about getting a tattoo like for each other, kind of, but not like a.
Each other's name or
some
shit.
Yeah,
dumb.
Yeah. And so I grew up in Alberta, so he actually did get a rose.
Oh, sure. Wild rose country.
Mm-hmm.
Wild rose is Alberta. So he didn't get a wild rose. He got like a nicer,
just a regular nice rose. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he got a rose and I got the dogwood. And they're very different styles. They don't look the same at all.
Great.
So that's, we sort, we
it's
know
your
it's
own
a thing,
thing
for us,
yeah.
but it's
yeah.
not like, matching heart.
Yeah.
Anniversary.
With a K like, inside of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do too many K's in a row because it gets weird.
He's a Chris with a K.
Ooh,
I'm a K.
No, ma'am.
You don't want to dip into that
water. No, ma'am.
That
water. Okay.
Not a
You're
good.
Okay.
We have fun.
Not a good place to especially in these waters we're swimming
these trying days.
Yeah.
No.
So that's probably my first
good
one.
Good job,
real quick.
Everyone involved.
Yeah.
Good jobs choosing, good jobs paying, good jobs making.
Thank you to Fear Bear, Olivia Harrison. She's awesome. Check her stuff out. I have waited for her books to be open for quite a while. So I jumped in. I knew exactly what I wanted.
I bet she was on board.
She was super
cool. Exactly what she wants to do.
Yep.
And she's really good at. So.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's my first one that was like a birthday because I think the last episode we recorded was just after my birthday. So now we're
pretty close.
We're back on track.
Back on track. A month.
We're just
late.
A month late.
Yeah.
But here we are. Our timing is perfect. Or something. It's good enough. It's good enough.
Oh, boy. I haven't gotten any new tattoos. Evan, you got any new tattoos?
No, unfortunately not.
That's
I have
right.
so many that I need. Not want, but need.
You need.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about one for my kids for... I don't know, Margo's four, so I don't know, 5 years.
To get a tattoo, I wouldn't, I would wait a few years.
Mm-hmm. Grow out of it, I'm sure.
I'm trying to figure out something for them that I could do for me.
A friend of mine got a little drawing that her son had done when he was like five
Fantastic.
Or six.
Love
this
it.
Really cute little drawing of their family, and she got that tattooed. It's a super, super cute tattoo.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready to go that route precisely, but...
This is her maybe seventh or eighth or ninth tattoo, so it's not like it's a new...
Yeah.
It's not a full back piece either.
Looking at you, Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So who's next? Evan, you've got to have one. Let's go. What's knocking around there?
Oh, gosh. Let's start off with the thing that's been occupying my brain the most, other than school and my show, which we'll talk about probably on a future episode.
Oh, yeah. We should do its own episode for that.
Yeah.
Shit.
Sabrina on Netflix.
But it's a Sabrina, I was going to say the curious case of, it's not a curious. What is it called?
The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which they're calling Chaos on the socials.
Chilling.
The cast is calling it Chaos. Yeah. Uh-huh, Chaos.
Adventures of Sabrina. Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. Just call it Sabrina. But
it's fun to have a fun thing.
Yeah, I suppose
people love fun things.
They love a hashtag.
Let them have it. Evan.
Yeah, I suppose they are delivering this like guilty pleasure.
And it's made here.
It's made here,
which is nice.
Yeah, so I think
there's a lot of creepy forest.
The school
and we got a
is
lot
like
of that going on.
The school that they the exterior shots for the school is like not far from my house.
Oh yeah,
it's somewhere up in East Van.
Mm.
It's always fun to see those in your neighborhood.
Right? Yeah.
Been there.
It's weird. Yeah. But this fucking show, I need to make
it's hitting all like a bunch of,
it's hitting most.
Yeah. A lot of things for you.
Yeah. There's never been a witch narrative that is inclusive, especially when it comes from American television.
Mm.
But the witchcraft portrayed in that show is very white-centric and exists on the Catholic binary. Yes. That's something that I need to... The binary of good
Satan,
and evil, God
and
Satan, and heaven and hell, and blah, 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 all that bullshit. As an indigenous person, my witchcraft comes from a much...
Other places, yeah.
Much more...
Natural.
Earthly place.
Yes.
Yeah, the devil has nothing to do with my magic, and therefore has no control over me.
Except for that one guy in your hometown.
Oh,
he's not there anymore, though.
Chiclu sold his soul to the devil.
Chiclu's got his own thing going on.
Is he still around or is he gone?
Oh, God, no. Yeah, he's long dead.
He's long gone.
He was dead before I was born.
Right.
Previous episodes, we talk about the legends of Chiclu.
Oh, my God, Chiclu.
In fact, I got another obsession that's going to tie right back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this show.
But more about Sabrina. What do you like about it?
I like the campiness of it.
Yes.
And all of the visual references to classic horror movies.
Yeah.
Especially in the set design, and the costumes are very modern, but there's like
but
no
still retro.
But still very retro,
still
and
very,
there's
like,
no cell phones in this show.
All the cars are old.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime they talk on the phone, it's a landline.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
But it's just...
Sabrina was wearing cropped plaid pants and a little like knit top with a Peter Pan collar.
Yeah.
I'm all
and like a black and, like, a black ribbon in her hair.
And like, ooh, yeah, yeah. Like I'm 100% and, like, here for this.
No makeup, but just a little bit of blush.
A little bit of red.
Just
yeah.
a little bit of blush.
Mm-hmm.
But the aunts, especially Aunt Zelda, just fucking kills me every time. Played by Miranda Otto, who was in,
Lord of the
Lord
Rings.
Of the Rings.
Played Eowyn.
Yeah. But she, some people might get a bit uncomfortable with like the satanic talk,
okay,
but the way that they deal with it in the show, it's so ridiculous and comedic,
but also so normalized
yeah.
at the same time, which is interesting to hear because it's like Christian religion is always the normal.
Yeah.
Like they,
it's
baseline,
like they talk about Satan,
but
like the way
it?
Catholics talk about God.
Yeah.
And it's
so as someone
like,
who has fully rejected Christianity, I think it's very entertaining.
Yeah.
Very refreshing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Satanism is a very inclusive kind of belief system.
Yeah.
It's not about worshiping Satan. It's about embracing not Christian values.
Yes.
It's about embracing
individuality
free will, the alternatives.
And free will.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So they're big supporters and big proponents of like birth control and women's reproductive rights and all that kind of stuff because it is
yeah.
free will. You have control of your own body, all that kind of stuff.
It's God
really,
telling
it's
you what to do. Or they keep recording as false God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
a false God.
Let the mortals run to their false God. Yes. but also, and I think the thing that really gets me with this show is that maybe because it's on Netflix, they don't short out on the special effects for the magic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
You know, so it's
cool.
Like, and it's cool.
It
and like,
great.
And they, when the actors are playing demons and whatever, it's not CGI. It's like makeup, which I find so much more
yeah.
interesting because the person can actually,
they're actually interacting.
It's real.
With people,
you know,
yeah.
it's happening on, you're filming
two
it live.
Humans.
Like this person's not acting to like a green ball
yeah.
floating in the air.
On a stick.
Yeah.
just a PA holding
yeah.
a tennis
if
ball.
If anyone wants, like the reason why Dobby fell so flat in Harry Potter is because Dobby was a stick with like green,
yeah,
like styrofoam balls on it. But yeah, like, and it's just the universe that they've created. It's like the witch
it's
world
so fleshed out.
Like it's put into the real world,
but not.
And then it's like everything's kind of happening under everyone's noses, and it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And then there's Ambrose,
the
and
sexy
Prudence.
Cousin, and the sexy witch. The sexy bad witch who wears a lot of makeup to bed. Just saying.
Prudence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got full, like,
well,
almost
witchcraft,
drag
darling.
Makeup,
it's
right?
Witchcraft.
And she's, like, going to bed with, like, full beat
like
on.
A full beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and she looks amazing.
Like, eyeshadow up to her eyebrows.
Yes. And beyond.
Yeah. Past.
And beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
But it's, like, it's 10 episodes and it's great.
Yeah. Everyone's, like, an hour. So
yeah.
it's almost like
it totally
a little movie each episode. Can really flesh it out.
Oh, it's that long?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And like each episode is like its own thing, but then there's also
everything
like grander, bigger, overarching storylines, which is also nice. That's good.
I've seen it come up a few times, and I just figured it was like getting promoted because it's like Halloween time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'll check it out.
It's interesting.
It's a good time.
Yeah. It's some light scares.
Yeah.
It's very
a little bit of blood.
A little bit of blood, whatever. Like there's murder.
Yeah.
It's more spooky than scary.
It's spooky, yeah.
Ooh, I like a spooky.
Yeah.
That's fun.
The Miss Wardwell character. I can't talk about her because it happened. Her whole story begins on the first episode, but that whole thing is just so interesting to me. How like that character is.
And she's from Doctor Who, the actress is amazing.
And she like her whole character, she's the mother of demons. She's like the most powerful female demon, but her character is so feminist in a way.
And campy.
And I don't know. There's just, she
her hair always looks great.
She always has like that Veronica Lake, like covering
big
one
curve.
Eye.
Yeah,
with,
big curve. Yeah.
That like kind of pinup style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big hair, yeah. Bulb red.
Like really,
lip.
Like really fitted, like
little
shimmy dresses.
Yep.
Yeah. In like a brocade, like a dark green brocade moment.
Yeah, she looks great.
Yeah. All the time.
And her line read, like the way she delivers her line, it's great.
And the way she talks to that, to her familiar.
Her crow?
Her Tostoles.
It's pretty great.
So good.
Oh. Yeah.
The one critique I have of this, it's clearly written by white people because all of the characters who are people of color are either portrayed as evil, subservient, trapped, or weaker than white witches.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And there's a scene that you get on, it goes farther in, where Sabrina kind of flips the script on these three witches that are in her school, and it looks like she's hanging them from a tree, but there's no rope, so they're just kind of like floating in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, someone might have thought,
a little bit,
how about we not hang a black witch
from a
tree?
Is there another way to like
yeah.
get that plot device
yeah.
across that doesn't involve that?
Yeah, that doesn't that involve that true. Visual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even just for a second.
Yeah. I think there just needs to be like a... There needs to be some spice added to the stew in the writer's room.
Yeah, in the writer's room.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I'm... You watched the whole thing? The whole series?
I've watched almost every episode twice. I've absolutely devoured it, masticated it, eaten it again, thrown it up, eaten it again. It's so good.
Yes. I got the last one to watch and that's it.
Oh, that one's so good. Oh, the magic, the witchcraft.
Looking forward to it.
Abby, do you have one you can tie in here or should I?
I don't have one to tie in. So if you have one to tie in.
I do. And you're going to jump on board with this because you reminded me of Jezebel Spooky Story season.
And this year they've added the videos where they retell the stories. Have you been watching those too?
I think they did one or two last year too. And I got to go back and rewatch a few of them because they are so good.
Fuck,
did you have any standout ones this year? It's hard to pull one out from memory.
It's hard to pull. The one that I remember is an older story, the Look at Me story, that was the video.
Oh, they did a video of that one?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I talked about that one last year. It's so crazy.
Go. Is that the one with it written on the door?
Uh-huh. Yeah. 8:45. Yes. You're doing your homework.
You have the noise-canceling headphones?
You still have
it
looking at me.
Oh, so scary. The one that got me this year that stuck out for me is this girl who, like, you know, typical first apartment on her own, moves out.
The dust? That one?
That one is next level.
That fucked. One fucked me up.
That one fucked me up.
Oh my God. Like another woman living alone by herself in a new apartment.
Yeah, that one is like, go and read. I mean, go and read the top tens for sure. And that one was a last year one too.
Fuck.
So they re-put, when they like announced they're doing the contest.
They're open
again,
for submissions.
Yeah, they put like the top three or like the best ones from before. So that one was reposted again. But anyway, so the one that got me this year was, again, this girl living out on her own, first apartment by herself, ground level apartment. You know, forgot to lock the door one night or was, you know, a bit flaky about locking the door. Goes out to meet some friends for drinks or something, comes home, crashes, falls asleep, and wakes up later to something and sees like a figure in like crouched in her room, like this dark figure sort of crouched like beside her bed in her room.
Fuck.
She sort of rolls over and like comes a little bit more like wakes up a bit more, and this figure jumps up and runs out of her house. It's not a ghost. She thought it was like a ghost or something.
Some weird.
Not a ghost. This guy gets up and runs out of her house, like out of the apartment door, out the front
God,
door.
I'm gonna barf.
So she sort of like looks around and sees a pair of her kitchen scissors on like next to the bed, either on the floor or on the nightstand. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Sees
that
her
weren't
kitchen
there
scissors,
before.
Weren't there before. And jumps up and all of a sudden is naked and like runs out, like calls 911, is trying to like piece together what's going
sure.
on. This guy has snuck into her apartment, taken the scissors from her kitchen and cut her clothing off.
No, man.
While she was asleep. I have goosebumps even saying it out loud.
God, my stomach just went into my throat. Oh my God.
So scary. Lock that fucking door, girls. Boys, everyone,
everybody,
lock your fucking doors.
Witches, put a binding spell on all windows and doors.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Oh my God.
I read all, I love those stories. I'm really good at like shutting myself down on them. Like I read them really fast. And if they're good, I'll go back and read them again.
I have to read them during daylight hours.
Daylight hours, absolutely. Yes. But I had that tab open on my computer for like 3 weeks.
Constantly going back.
It's so good. Yeah, the Look at Me one is insanely good. The dust, whatever it's called, the dust something about the girl who comes home and shit's been...
There's just dust everywhere, all over the place.
Yeah, and she cleans it all again, and she has a dog, and the pictures, remember the pictures on her dining table?
Yeah, she gets moved
table?
Around, and like they take all of her pictures and put them on the dining table, and they're just constantly... She comes home, and there's just stuff different all the time, and... She has a dog sitter that takes the dog out, but she's home with the dog all the time. Yeah. And then she sees something alerts her to like a big cabinet.
This is after months.
Months of this happening.
But she comes home one day and there's a photo of, there was a box of photos that she had from where she used to live of like her and her sorority girls or high school friends or something.
Yeah.
And they had all been arranged on her dining room table, like laid out on her dining room table.
Ugh.
When she left, like she comes home and sees this and she's like, what the fuck?
They were in a box, like in a closet.
In a box, in a closet. So she takes a photo of all of the pictures on the table and like doesn't know what to do. Like, is it a ghost? Like what?
And she's
the
called
fuck?
The landlord and she's talked to her name, whatever. Like she's exhausted, like every
like no ideas. So she takes a photo. The next time she comes home, after being, she's a journalist, so she goes away for trips or whatever. Next time she comes home, on her dining room table is the picture that she has taken of all of the pictures.
Printed out
on her table. And she just gets the fuck out, obviously. And then she finds this other little pile of dust again.
Something, because she just cleaned up and then it just appeared or something. And it was behind a cabinet or something. So she moves the cabinet. There's a big hole in the drywall. Guy, two, and they were like criminals or something.
Yeah,
too,
he was.
They?
She said
they were like wanted.
She drove by a huge billboard
of their
with
face,
his fucking face on it,
and they, him and another guy, had been sitting there for months watching her,
just purely to fuck with her,
and then waiting for her to leave. And she always had her huge dog with her when she was home.
Yeah.
So they, I don't know if that helped her. Or I don't know. And they would just for fun and just sit and watch her and fuck with her when she wasn't there.
And they just, he just.
And they were on the lamb or something. And
there's like a little passageway between the two apartments in the wall.
Ugh. So there's like the supernatural weird ones. And then there's the like real life ones.
Like the real life ones.
Which are more terrifying.
Way more
ghosts.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Ghosts can be dealt with.
Those ghosty ones are still spooky.
Little brimstone,
yeah,
darling.
I do like those. Yeah, those are good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that, I mean, obviously that's going to be my obsession sometime in October.
Forever. As long as Jezebel is around and doing the stories.
Yep, for sure.
Oh, man.
So we got to transition out of spooky. What do
I
you
have? I
was
going to say, I might.
I have so much spooky, though. Can we stay spooky for a minute?
Sure. Stay spooky. I feel like we're dominating. Abby hasn't had an obsession.
Yeah,
no,
Abby,
go for it. I'm happy to.
Do you have a spooky?
No, see, I don't have a spooky.
Okay.
So I think we need to keep spooky going and then just get it all out. Get it done.
Get it out. Get it out of our
system. Move on to the dumb shit I want to talk about.
A quick mention of American Horror Story because we're both watching
it. Yes, because
right
Evan
now.
And I are both watching it. We're both very big fans. You've seen every episode.
Oh, yes. I've
seen every single episode.
Yes.
Even the shitty seasons.
Even the. Yes.
Including Asylum and Carnival, which fucking sucked.
I haven't seen.
I heartily disagree. Asylum is one of my favorite seasons.
It had so many loose ends. It was so all over the place.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
But.
I didn't care for it. There were parts
but
that
Lana
I liked,
Winters.
But there was, yes, there was parts I cared. I did. Enjoy it thoroughly. Anyway.
This season.
Also Satanists.
Also Satanists.
But a different Satanist.
But the witches aren't Satanists in this universe. The witches, their magic is molecular. It's
and
like DNA
they're
based.
Like they work with the Satanists, but they're
actually
enemies.
What is it called?
Oh, no, they're not with the Satanists. No, they're not with the Satanists.
No.
What is it called? American Horror
American
Story?
American Horror Story Apocalypse. So... In this one, like basically the warlocks have brought about the end of the world with their greed and misogyny, which is such a
short-sightedness.
It's a nice
is
it allegory? An allegory to society as
to
it stands.
Reality. Yeah.
Here it is.
And that shit is just and Myrtle Snow is back.
Yes.
So
Balenciaga. Yes.
I have not for the listener at home who's on my team. I've never
Katie's
watched a single episode.
Yeah.
Not because I don't want to. It's just because I don't know where to find it or how to get
it. It's hard to get.
It's hard,
not easy to get.
Yeah.
So I have
it's not available streaming anywhere or anything.
Who these people are that you're talking about. And I hope I'm not the only
Myrtle one. Snow is like Grace Coddington, Deanna Vreeland, and
but like a witch.
A witch from I don't know.
Like a bitchy witch.
Like a is bitchy witch.
Does Diane Lane play her? No.
Frances Conroy.
She's a redhead lady. Okay. Older lady.
Okay.
She has like Grace Coddington hair.
Like
big
hair.
Deanna Vreeland mannerisms.
Like long gloves and like little cat eye glasses. And
she dresses kind of like Iris Apfel.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. So that
she's great.
She's so fucking good.
And the guy who plays Michael Landon, very attractive.
Very attractive.
can believe that.
Who plays that Antichrist? Yeah. She's cute. Cute.
That a white queer would bring about the end of the world.
Ooh.
I might have said a lot there, kids.
Mm.
The other spooky moment, I went and saw a movie called Suspiria with my brother.
Oh,
it's a remake.
Yes. Tilda, right?
With Tilda.
Yeah, with Tilda.
And that shit is on. That's a whole other kettle of fish when it comes to witchcraft.
Yes. I've heard conflicting reports about this Suspiria. I've heard some people love it. I've heard some people say it's terrible.
The people who say it's terrible are like purists and they love the original.
Yes, they love the original. Yeah. That is very true. Yes.
I've never heard of it.
And I feel like they're
Italian
also contradictory.
Horror movie from the 70s?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like.
Is it about dancers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very
famous if you're in
Dario Argento.
Yes. If that's your jam, you are all over it.
Yeah.
Okay. And the music is fantastic.
Oh, the music, like the score and the sound effects and all that shit is just, it's blood curdling, to be perfectly honest. And as a dancer and a witch, it's very scary. But the costumes in the show are so fucking good. It's Tilda in like a long waist length gray wig.
Ooh.
In like rich chocolate brown and dark red and gray and like
she's like the dance teacher.
She's like the ballet instructor, and she's wearing these like floor length jersey gowns that I can only imagine are like Rick Owens or Yoji or something like that. Or they look very Lanvin, like Albert's Lanvin.
Yes.
And she's just like floating around in like a floor length jersey gown, just like telling people, like the jump isn't about the space you're walking into, it's the space you leave behind. And then she like touches their feet and their feet glow, and then all of a sudden they can jump again.
They can execute.
And then another girl breaks her leg because they've taken the power from another girl and give it to another girl because they're trying to build up this
company,
this star for the and all this shit.
Mm.
Yeah, and then it gets into some like ritual sacrifice and it's wild.
Boy. How's Dakota Johnson? I'm not such a huge fan of hers, but I haven't actually seen her do that much.
She's good at playing that kind of character where everything is very low and soft.
Okay.
And she kind of like,
there you go.
She always flirts with everybody. And then you
she's
can kind
of Sarah Silverman.
No. No.
No.
There's, she's not a they weren't
even
Haddish.
That bolt of cloth wasn't even made in the same factory, darling.
No.
All right.
Yeah, I want
to see this.
She wears a nice wig.
Oh,
there you go.
We do love a good wig.
You can't get mad at a good wig.
Yeah. She definitely has a dance double, that's for sure. She has arms like a ton of bricks. And that's not visually. I'm just saying she lifts her arms like they weigh like a ton of bricks. There's no lightness, and she lifts from above, not from underneath.
Like the whole thing of ballet is making it look light and easy.
Effortless.
Yes. Yeah. Is that you weigh nothing.
Even though you're working against the forces of gravity.
Yes. Anyway.
That's a witchcraft in and of itself, to be perfectly honest.
Yes.
But yeah, that's all I have to say about it without ruining the plot.
Sure.
But I mean, the original's been out for like
a 40 years.
40 years. So but yeah.
So if you know what you know.
There's a red drapey caftan moment that Tilda wears at the end. It's like she's wearing so many subdued colors throughout the movie, and then this final scene that she's in is just like this big red, like Pope red cape kind of thing with the gray shock of hair.
Boy.
And then the Tilda.
Yes.
Yeah.
In itself.
Yeah.
It's magnificent.
That bitch.
That fucking bitch.
That Scottish witch. Yeah.
Abby, what do you got?
No more spooky stuff.
No.
Yeah, I don't have any more spooky
stuff. Me neither.
We can shift gears into a great new lip pencil I found.
Delish.
Ooh, yeah, let's do it.
I needed a new one because my Clinique one was dead. I killed it. And I couldn't find it in Sephora.
What's and it called?
It's like one of the chubby sticks. It's like the big thick pencil.
Oh, yeah.
And called Bountiful Blush, which is essentially just human lip color.
Yeah, that's what I always do.
It's lovely, and I love the pencil application, and it's very soft, and if you need to reapply it, it feels good. Sometimes if you have lipstick and you do need to reapply it, then it's too much.
Yeah.
Because then you've got on... Anyway, this lip pencil's great. Couldn't find it.
Is it a Sephora brand?
This is the Clinique one that I
had
for
years.
Oh,
this is a Clinique one.
That I'm trying to replace. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll look at something else. And I went to NARS, and this was before I read Feminasty, which is another one of my obsessions.
Yeah, we can talk
about
that.
The female or the male-dominated makeup industry. But I bought a NARS pencil. And the name is, I don't know where the name comes from, but it's called Rikugian.
Okay, I'm going to need you to spell
that. Yeah, we'll spell that one out. R-I-K-U-G-I-E-N. Rikugian? I don't know if the G is hard or soft. Anyway, it's a little bit pinker. And it's lovely.
I love a good pencil like that.
And it goes with everything. Because it's just, like I said, a human lip color. Just a little bit more saturated.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only... I thought when I turned 30, I was like,
now's my time.
Red lips. That's what I'm going to do.
It's a lot of work.
I did it once or twice and I was like, oh, I cannot be bothered. This is not
me. It's a lot of work.
All of my lipsticks are like a roughly... lighter or slightly darker shade of my actual lip color.
A little bit more nude, a little bit more pink, a little bit more orange,
maybe
or whatever,
it's
right?
Glossy this time.
Gloss, shimmer, matte.
You gotta mix it up. But this is great.
And I do love those pencils, those big chunky ones.
And it's nice and sometimes lip pencils can be too hard too. Mm-hmm. It's hard to put up, but this just glides all over it.
It's a creamy formula.
You'd have to sharpen it quite often because it
dulls
very
out quickly.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
But I have noticed, I don't know if my skin's changing or I just never paid it much attention in the past, but I find the line between my skin and my lips is less defined.
Mm.
I can agree with that. As I get older and smoke a lot of grass and a lot of cigarettes.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Just my skin getting darker, my lips getting, I don't know what it is. The line is blurring. So I feel like I need
a little
definition.
Something. Yes. And this is a nice, like I said, it's like three shades darker than my normal lip.
Yeah, and then you can kind of like blend it into the middle. And,
yeah, and make a nice little bow at the top, like accentuate the lip
that
at
moment.
The top.
Yeah,
it's nice. I like it. And now that I've used it and loved it and read Feminasty, which maybe we can segue into, I'm gonna need to find something else.
Yes, because Feminasty is on my list for sure.
Yes, I read it very quickly.
I read it.
I'm sure you
an
did
hour and
too.
A half.
Yeah, because it's a very easy read. It's by Erin Gibson, who has one of our inspirations.
Yeah.
Is the Throwing Shade podcast, which we've loved, all three of us, we've loved for years and we've seen live
since day one
many times.
Yeah.
Anytime they come to town. And Erin's coming to town November 14th.
Yes, I know, I can't wait
to sign her book. I will be going. I'm sure you will be going.
Friend Olivia,
I'm gonna go.
Olivia will be going.
Yeah. I'll buy the book there.
Yes. It is Erin 100%.
So good.
So if she's not your jam, maybe this isn't for you. That's fine. But it is, I was telling Dave, and Dave's going to read it now too. I saw it on his bedside table and I'm like, oh, you going
to
read that?
I want all the men
in my
life.
And I'm like, please, no. I'm like, please read it. It's awesome. It's super entertaining and you learn so much.
Yeah.
It's infuriating and hilarious and educating.
Very informative.
And that's not three. It's hopeful in that people like her exist.
Yes.
Yeah.
And are saying that story. She doesn't have any solutions necessarily, but she's shedding light on things and she is just unapologetic and
pulling shit out of the shadows.
Owning
is
it.
A solution most of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bringing it to light. Like this one chapter about the makeup industry and how all of the money is going to men.
And
huge corporations.
In this chapter, she was like, do your research on the makeup that you're buying.
They exist.
They exist. Here's
they're women, ones
people
that I
buy
of color.
From.
Yeah. LGBTQ owned. Mm-hmm. Like, go to them. Don't go to fucking LVMH owned Estee Lauder, whatever bullshit, where it's just some rich fucking French guy go buy another castle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another fucking Jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give it to local people. And a lot of the times, those local and smaller brands are the paraben-free ones, the sulfate-free ones, the natural dye ones, like the ones that are made.
The ones that aren't going to make your skin turn into a, like a wrinkled prune.
Yeah, or who knows what you're putting on your skin. Like, I know recently there were, maybe it was Aaron that talked about it on Throwing Shade, about how NARS was opening up to China and trying to expand into China, where for makeup, animal testing is required. If you want to sell any sort of body product in China, you have to test on animals first.
Cool.
So other animal, other brands that might theoretically be cruelty free over here cannot
not be
if they want. And that is a huge market.
Yeah.
So of course, big brands like NARS that are expanding and want to become bigger and bigger and bigger, and then are owned by bigger companies who want their shares to be bigger and their profits to be bigger, they are going to pursue that. But your local brands or the indie brands, and Sephora has these indie brands. Like, it's not like you have to know some weird tiny boutique or something in a big city that you don't have access to. Sephora has a lot of these brands. You can order them online from them directly or from other retailers. Mm-hmm. So trying to find out how to get these brands like Clinique and NARS and, you know, out of my makeup bag.
Yeah, and find those other ones that are all the right.
A shout out to the Natch Butte podcast, which is also very entertaining. It's all about natural beauty products and how to make the switch over to good, high quality products owned by not
conglomerates
and white men.
Yeah. I think that is. I mean, I don't really give a shit about the beauty industry. It's not my. I don't.
It's not a hill you want to die on.
Radar. Yeah, exactly.
It does not, but. I don't spend a lot of money in it, certainly.
Yeah.
I don't care. But it's nice to know that, first of all, it's nice to know that there's opportunity or there's options out there for someone like me who maybe spends $100 a year.
Yeah.
On that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But also, I think it's such an overlooked, I think that's changing now, but I think it has been a long time overlooked in terms of buying ethical or even considering where this shit actually came from and where it was made and how it was made and what processes. And I think we are learn more about like clothing and with food, the food industry.
Yeah.
We're starting to care more about that.
Yeah, be more awake with that.
But
sure.
I think the beauty industry has been forgotten or ignored or dismissed or just not even looked
addressed,
at properly.
Yeah.
And now that's changing and that's cool. It's been, I think it's been a long time coming that people are starting to
make sense with all these other changes that are coming that would be folded into it.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. If people are concerned about, you know, non-GMO tomatoes that they buy at Whole Foods, but then they go to Sephora and buy a NARS pencil that has who knows what done to it.
Yeah.
Not that NARS specifically, but you know what I mean?
Sure. There's full of chemicals and some weird formulations that are proprietary, you know, and Who knows how they're developed and tested and made and
feminazi. It's an essay. It's a book of essays. Basically.
Yeah. So each chapter is its own subject.
The letter to Betsy DeVos.
Fuck. About education and sex education. There's a chapter about breast cancer branding. And that bullshit.
That was a really interesting one. I learned a lot about Erin herself and her struggles with breast cancer.
Yeah.
And her dealing with doctors and...
Yes, the medical complex about how they just dismiss women and treat them.
That's infuriating.
Yeah, pat them on the head and just do whatever they want anyway.
I went for, I don't know, I don't think I mentioned this on the podcast, but I went for a checkup in the summer. Oh, you know what it was? I ran out of my... my real good hardcore allergy drugs.
Oh yeah,
that I get by prescription now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, coming
which had
out
been a game
it,
changer for you.
Had been a total game changer for me. And anyway, I was running out, and I was like, well, maybe I'm at the end of my like season of being sick, and maybe I won't.
You don't
I'll
need
give
to
it a
refill
day.
Or
I'll give it a day and see if I need to refill it. Well, that day was horrible. Turns out the drugs have been working very, very well. And I was not out of the weeds yet.
You really would like more, please.
Yeah. So I sort of had to do not an emergency, but I did like, I need to go to the clinic right now and get this prescription. And I was like, well, I'm sort of due for a pap, so I'll get a pap. Because who likes going to the doctor
more than you have to? Yeah. Why make two appointments when you can just do one?
So I said to the doctor, and I don't have a GP. I just went to walk in. And so I said to the doctor, I'm overdue for a pap. It's been about 2 years since I've had one. And he's like, oh, well, we're recommending that you do them every 3 years now instead of every one or whatever it was before.
Oh, and you're over 32, right? So that's the change. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like at the time I was like, great. I can get my pants on and go home and take these drugs. But then I was texting my husband on the way home and I was like, I hope this is actually a real thing. And they're not
like
just
science-based.
This is a science-based decision that it's not like, we're just not going to care about women's health for a while. So just come back every 3 years instead of every two.
Why are you clogging up the system with your vagina?
Like, I wrote this whole like ranty thing and I was like, sincerely, your angry feminist wife.
Think about that for a minute. Yeah. Chris. There you go.
I don't really know what the deal is with that, but
And then reading these books.
Yeah, she has
then talk about how women are treated by doctors, both male and female.
Yeah.
Mostly male, though.
Mostly male. Yeah.
But anyway, it's a book. It's in hardcover now.
Definitely go and read it if you haven't.
It is so worth it.
Also, I will be getting the audiobook because Erin Gibson is reading it herself.
I keep reading it in her voice.
Totally.
Because I'm so familiar with her
inflection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or how she talks. And it was just... Yeah, fully like laughing out loud.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Just me too.
Like absolutely just big. Ha! I'm laying in bed just like shaking my head.
Yeah, it's good to know that you have like a buddy. It feels like a buddy book where you're like, I know.
Yeah. Or I didn't know. Oh, my God. Yeah. Thank you for telling me.
You share the outrage.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yes. Yeah, she brings out that I did not know that I love to laugh and be mad at the same time.
Yes.
I didn't know how much I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. And how what a fire it can light under you.
Yeah.
It's such a good way to get it out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
If you guys aren't listening to Throwing Shade, I'm sure we've said it before. Get on it. It's so good.
Oh my God. I was listening to one the other day and I fully like almost had to pull over. I was laughing so hard. It was the mama, 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 papa, 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 have some more lasagna. The beginning of one of the episodes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
go download
both Brian and Erin. Are a gift.
The best. So delightful.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, we had a shared one. Evan, I think, do you have any we can jump off on? Where can we go from here?
Jump away from to something else.
Because I could talk about another book if we're on the books train. I can talk about books real quick. Because I just read this based on your recommendation. It was a previous obsession of yours.
Yes. Mm. Oh, God, yes.
Called Educated by Tara Westover.
Yep. How
go
fucked up and
read this book. You said it in a previous episode, so I don't want to jump too far into it, but
I don't need to rehash it, but oh my God.
God damn it, this woman's story. It's a memoir. It's all true.
And it's happened in the last 20 years. Yeah. It's not like a thing my that age. Happened. Yeah. She's younger than me.
Yeah. This girl grows up in
it's
this
not something that
world.
Happened in the 60s. It's like, this is happening now. Her family's super, still alive.
Was super it, devout.
Was this the, like,
Mormon?
Yeah, like the
but not
like,
quite cult, but only because I didn't have enough followers.
Yeah, only because there was their own family.
Yeah.
And then like conspiracy theory, like apocalypse as well.
Yeah, literally.
The doomsday people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Preppers. Literally burying food.
Like the Freudlanders in South Africa?
Burying fuel. Yeah. We've talked about it before, so I don't want to harp on it, but go and read this fucking book. It is so goddamn good. I recommend it to everyone. Just like you were like, you got to read this book. I've been to
it was
everyone.
Recommended to me by my friend Julie, who was, you know, she was giving out a list of books she's read. And I was like, oh, what's that one about? And then I messaged her like 4 days later being like, oh my God.
I finished it. I went to Tofino on a little mini vacation and I started it on like Thursday afternoon. And by Monday, it was done.
And ignored everyone you went with.
I did not speak to anyone. I was like, shut up.
Food and pee breaks, and then back to it. Sleeping.
Chris is setting up this whole like series of tarps around her. And I'm like, I can't talk right now.
Yeah.
I
gotta, you got us under control, right?
You got this, right? You need me to hold the thing? Great. I'll just stand there like you do when you're 13 and you're, or like not even like 11 when you just start devouring books in school.
And it's all you can think of and pay attention.
That was me. Yeah.
Oh, it was a good one.
And we definitely go and read it. It's so fucking good. Educated. Tara Westover.
Yes. I have something I can offshoot that from.
Okay.
I have been on more cult podcasts from a previous obsession. More cult podcasts.
Dr. Death?
Dr. Yeah, that's not a cult necessarily, but yes.
Okay, that's also on my list.
Yes. Yes. The shit out of that one. The Dream, which is about multi-level marketing. It's cult-ish, but not like officially cult, but like there's some weird cult shit happening about multi-level market and pyramid schemes. Very entertaining, compelling. Uncover the Nexium one, which I'm excited about.
We talked about that one already because you're all over it too. Went up and down that shit.
There's a podcast. There's a podcast called Cults where it's just like one or two episodes per cult because there's a lot and they go back through the history of them. But the one that I am talking about today, where are you? I'm just looking through my thing. Oh fuck! What were you called? Did I delete you because you're over? Shit. It was one about... Oh, why am I totally forgetting the name now? Oh, all the people who killed themselves in San Diego in the late 90s. And they all had the black outfits with the Nike shoes. How am
Mooners?
I?
Moonies?
No.
No.
Also listen to one about the Moonies. On the cults, there's two episodes, three episodes about the Moonies. Oh my God. How am I?
Okay, you look it up. Evan, you got to have another obsession. I do. Let's get to it.
There's a new podcast out. It's from this
Heaven's Gate.
Oh,
sorry.
How did I forget Heaven's Gate?
I'll have to interrupt you. I'm sorry. You can finish.
You finish. Yeah.
That must have been a publicity nightmare for Nike with all these dead bodies.
They do not make those shoes anymore. They don't. Stopped making them shoes.
Ooh. The impact. Mm-hmm. The social impact. Mm-hmm. Oof. Ooh, I got shivers from that for some reason. There's a new podcast out from, I don't know if it's a podcasting network, but it's called Canada Land.
Oh, yeah, I've heard the name. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's all about Thunder Bay.
Oh, and I have so much. My mom's entire family is from Thunder Bay.
You would love, you need to listen to this podcast.
I'm subscribing right now.
It's a podcast, but it's done by Ryan McMahon, who owns the Indian and Cowboy Podcast Network. It's all Indigenous podcasts. I think I've talked about his podcast, Red Man Laughing.
Yeah.
Previously, yes, we've all talked about it.
A long time ago, yeah.
Oh my God. Gail, listen, get my mother. You better get on this, Gail.
So this is an invest, it's kind of like Serial. It's kind of like that kind, This American Life type deal. Oh,
also the new Serial. Great.
I haven't started...
Great.
There's a new season?
There's a new season of Serial. Oh, anyway.
Son of a bitch.
So many
changes. Oh my God, you guys. We haven't seen each other in so long.
Developments upon developments. Okay, so basically this podcast is like investigative journalism into why there are so many Indigenous youth ending up dead in the river in Thunder Bay.
Uh-huh. Whoa, really?
Wow, because there's huge reserves up there, hey?
There are, but...
It's called Canada Land.
It's called, I'm like Canada making Land is the network... Right. But the podcast itself is just called Thunder Bay.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I just saw it in the RSS feed. There's like episodes that are specifically called Thunder Bay.
Is it Canada Land?
Yeah.
The Canada Land podcast? Yeah, because I think it's going to continue and they're going to investigate more towns and like the way that Indigenous people and Canadian society have kind of
interacted.
Right. And the historical reasons why these interactions are the way they are.
Yeah.
Because of whatever cards they've all been dealt and
right.
whatever. Because they're he's doing a very good job of being all encompassing. He's like, oh, these people are severely racist. Why?
Yeah.
Why cool. do they feel so entitled to this land? Because of this. It's like, has like the largest Finnish population outside of Finland in Thunder Bay.
Oh, really?
So it's like they have like a sense of, there's like a nationalism there that isn't Canadian.
It's their Finnish. Own, right?
Yes. You know, it's like they think it's, they their ancestors came there and they think they created this.
Sure.
They did, but also their ancestors came here and murdered a bunch of mine. So,
it's real complicated.
You know?
Yeah, it gets really complicated real fast.
Yeah, without saying. But it's all interviews with real people, and they ask Indigenous people and settlers all the same questions, and the answers are completely different.
Wow.
Right.
And it's so just like mind-boggling that people in the same place
space,
can have a completely
same time,
different experience.
Yeah,
because like basically the whole crux of this is that a lot of northern communities don't have high schools, so kids need to be sent from the north, from their own community, away from their friends and their family and everything they've ever known.
To who knows where.
To Thunder Bay, which is major culture shock.
They're a bit of a catch-all there, isn't it? In a lot of ways.
And they're living with strangers who are being paid monthly to house these kids.
Gotcha.
So a lot of people take these kids in not because out of the goodness of their heart. They do it for the money.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit if these kids
come or go or whatever.
Finish school or live or die, basically. And then it gets into all of these things about how, like, throughout the years, like, indigenous people who live in Thunder Bay, they say, like, not to go to certain bars because if you're alone as an indigenous person in this bar and you get too drunk and you don't have control over yourself, like, some people will rough you up knock you out and throw you in the river. It's like a game.
Jesus.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. And sometimes people survive and they get out of the river and they wake up and they swim out, or they don't.
Or they don't.
Ugh.
Yeah. And then
what a national comparison.
Oh God. Like we're at the top of the layers of this. Yeah.
One example.
One of many.
Oh my God. Well, thank you
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
It just started. So it's like three episodes in.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh good. I'm like,
we're right here.
I just finished a bunch of podcasts and now I'm like, give me a good serial.
And the episodes aren't the first one's only half an hour because he's explaining like the methodologies he's
going to
use.
Oh,
when
he's going to.
He's like, this is not a podcast about how to solve this problem.
Yeah.
It's about exploring it and shedding light on the realities of Canadian society.
Yeah. Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, good one.
Because Canada, by and large, for our international listeners, has like a international reputation for being a multicultural safe haven.
Accepting and nice. Inclusive.
Yeah. And that's not the case.
And that rhetoric and that reputation is often created at the expense of the indigenous people of this country.
And there's Canadians. Like, I was just thinking recently, I listened to so many American podcasts about what's happening in America, and there's no Canadian. That's why I love that Uncover Nexium one, even though it did have ties to the States. It was happening in Canada to Canadians. Mm-hmm.
It was like finding Cleo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, somebody knows something is another.
So I'm trying to find ways to get at Canadian stories. And that, thank you. I will look into that.
And it's good.
As soon as I get your Wi-Fi password, I'm going to dumb shit all that. New Wi-Fi password. New house, new Wi-Fi password. Yep. Come on.
Oh, man.
That one's been occupying some space in my brain.
Sweet. Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Oh, I go back to my Heaven's Gate one real quick.
Yes.
I was thinking about, because the Heaven's Gate, you just know about all the dead people that are in San Diego, right? And they're all in the matching outfits, and they all have the sneakers, and they all drank poison and killed themselves. But going back, the whole history of the cult, the two people who started it, how it developed, they didn't start out trying to all this big suicide pact, it developed into it later, how that all happened. And it started out with this kind of zeitgeisty thing that was happening in the 70s when it kind of really got started about aliens.
Their internet?
Yes. The aliens and how that they exist. And there was a whole bunch of talk about it and a bunch of books that were like New York Times bestsellers were all about aliens and that sort of thing. And then also End of Times. They were two independent things in cultural, conversations.
In the moment,
back then. And then these two ding-dongs who combined them and said the End of Times is coming, and they have this whole Christian base of their faith and how
they're just pulling from every angle, aren't
like
they?
The Old Testament stuff too. It's like really old stuff. It's not even Jesus. It's like pre-Jesus stuff, end of time stuff, combined with aliens that will rescue them from the end of times.
Oh boy.
And then how they just created this cult for themselves and how they recruited people. Like literally they go in on how there's one whole episode on how they recruited people, what they said, how they manipulated them into thinking X, Y, and Z, and to do their bidding and to give up all their money and to not talk to their family.
Jesus Christ.
Fascinating.
What is the podcast actually called?
It's called Heaven's Gate.
Okay.
There used to be a bar in the West End called Heaven's Gate.
Was purple in any of their branding? Because that was the Heaven's Gate color. It was purple.
And then they got in on internet, right? Like
and they started.
You can still go to their website.
They're still there, like very bare bones, like bulletin board style, whatever, clip art
whatever
stuff.
It looks
like the website you had to make in high school when you learned how to make a website.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Because they were one of the four, they were in on it, because some of the people who were in the cult were very into IT at the very beginnings of it. Mm-hmm. And they just used their skills to get their message out. They used to put ads in the paper, and now they put websites up and draw in people. Anyway, it's
I gotta listen to that.
Fascinating. Fascinating. Anyway, Heaven's Gate. Fantastic.
Okay.
And the new season of Serial. I think there's 8 episodes. I've listened to it all already. It all takes place in a courthouse in Cleveland. And it's all the different cases that come through.
Oh.
And some of them overlap. And some of them last a few episodes. And some of them are just one episode with one story. But Sarah Koenig and she and her, this other guy, I'm totally forgetting his name now. Some man with a lovely British accent. Emmanuel, maybe? Anyway, they just go and just hang out in the courthouse.
Hmm.
And they talk to the cops, and they talk to the lawyers, and they talk to the judges, and they talk to the, quote, criminals. And
sweet.
I devoured it.
Cool. I, real quick, on the podcast train, I just finished Dr. Death. Have you listened to Dr. Death?
Mm-hmm.
It might be the one that upset me the most out of all of those like serial
style.
Sure,
of all the stuff you listen to.
Except for maybe Finding Cleo, because that one's really close to my heart as, you know. But just like the descriptions of the shit that this guy does and the pain that he causes is like stomach turning in more ways than any like the like gnarliest true crime shit. Like it's pretty fucked. But it's about this doctor in Texas who, and it's a serial style one as well.
Yeah.
It's about this doctor in Texas.
There's like 10 episodes or something, maybe.
Yeah. And who becomes a surgeon. A
neurologist.
And
doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Has no idea what the fuck he's doing. And somehow, because there's no way to like be accountable for him, it's by hospital. So hospitals, instead of like straight up firing a doctor
and dealing with all that
shit, will just ban them from practicing at that hospital. So he just gets shunted to another hospital, and it'll be their problem.
And he somehow managed to get through medical school, and he managed to get a job here and there and bounce around and then leave all these people in his wake. And then finally some doctors like clued in and like pursued it. And they actually pursued it and like to the ends of the line, like, and now he's,
and people actually died under his care specifically because of his actions.
Malpractice or malevolence?
Well,
that's the part, that's one part of the questions.
That's part of
the mystery.
Is he incompetent or is he evil?
Yeah, is he murdering people or is he just incredibly negligent at his job?
You'd think the average human being who maybe kills someone by mistake would just not anymore. So
it all comes back, and this is a reoccurring theme for us. Oh, to be a mediocre white man and the things you can get away with.
And it
is
also,
he, is he pretty?
Nope.
No.
Oh, okay.
But he has an ego, and he has this self-confidence that has somehow come from being a white man in the southern states who played football, who went to medical school. And
by the way, poorly, but badly.
But that didn't matter.
He thought he could just work really hard at something and then you would be good at it.
Because no one ever told him otherwise.
Yeah.
So it turns out
no one ever
said, no one ever said, you know what? Maybe this isn't for you. They just said, you can do it.
Yeah. And he just assumed,
if you try hard enough,
you'll get there. So that's what he did.
I want to be a prima ballerina, but that's not going to fucking happen.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Also, it also shed some light that is quite interesting on the American medical system and how referrals and marketing yourself as a doctor is a part of the game, which is
made like a video promoting himself and people chose him as their doctor because his video was convincing.
Because he paid actors to do this. Oh, there's new episodes out that are like updates from it. So
yes.
I haven't listened to all of the ones that are out. But it is upsetting. So interesting. Yeah. Really, really good. And the guys who like catch on to what the fuck is going on are kings among them.
Yes.
They're so good. The one thing that like stood out to me that I was talking to Chris, my husband, about was one of the doctors who is also a neuroscience, or pardon me, a neurosurgeon. The interviewer asks him, you know, how many procedures have you done
or assisted with or whatever, right?
In your career that gets you to this point where you're an expert. And he's like, like a really conservative estimate is 2,500 at least.
Yeah. If I had to put a number to it. Yeah. Yeah.
And this guy had done less than 100 and is touting
got a medical
degree, same level.
He's still a doctor on his business card, still getting jobs in hospitals.
It is
being put into operating rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. Really interesting.
Who's going to play him in a movie?
I don't know.
Some people joke Patton Oswalt because he kind of looks like
maybe it's Patton's Oscar turn.
Like Kevin James or something. I don't know. He's kind of like, I don't know, like a dumpy.
Sort of like a goofy, dumpy looking dude. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who would play him. I haven't looked at his picture in a while.
But it would be a hell of a story.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
It's good.
Well, they're making a Dirty John movie or TV show.
Oh,
they
are.
Eric Bana and Connie Britton.
Get out.
I want absolutely nothing
gonna
to do with that.
It's going
to
be on Bravo.
Wow.
Oh, man. It's an article about it.
You're not
interested? Is it the one with that little ghost boy?
No, that's Dear David. Dirty John is the con man one.
That is...
I started to reread the Dear David and I had to stop again.
No, ma'am. I don't want nothing to do with it. Mm-mm. Absolutely nothing.
Nope.
Keep it away from me. I'm waiting patiently for...
We talked about it on a previous episode.
Yeah. We talked about it at the Just this time last year because I found about it on
we
the
We talked about it with Sheila too a little bit, didn't we?
Yes, because she was very into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have...
Just Google Dear David.
If you have a bright, sunny afternoon and you want to get a little bit of a spook on...
You need a whole coven to get rid of motherfucker.
Yeah,
it's good. Boy. It's a scary one. We're back to the spookies. It must be that time of year.
Yeah,
it is.
It's in the air.
Okay, who? I have one. I can let's
completely shift gears because my last two have nothing to do with anything we're talking.
Okay,
let's do it.
There is an artist that I have fallen in love with. Her name is, I'm going to pronounce it wrong. I'm sure, Eloise Renouf, and her. I've been following her on Instagram. Her stuff is so, it's really simple shapes. I want to say geometric, but it's not super geometric because it's very smooth. It's not really tight angles like you think of with geometric kind of pieces. But it's solid colors. It's sort of collage-y. She makes these... the reason I found her is because she does a blanket with a company called Slowdown Studio. And they make blankets and they make... all kinds of stuff. And they work with artists to make tea towels and, beautiful kind of stuff.
Wow.
And her stuff is it's really simple.
It reminds me of Danica stuff that we have previously guest, Aaron Gibbs.
A little more abstract.
Yeah.
More abstract than Danica. It's sort of Scandinavian-ish.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like it's not, it's mostly because I love the colors. Like the colors are really beautiful. There's a few pieces that I'm like, oh my God, I want this in my life. And it's just beautiful. I'm just totally captivated by it. I keep wanting to take screenshots and then pick one and put it on my phone.
Yeah, as your wallpaper.
When I find an artist that I really like, that's what I usually do. And put it on my wallpaper. But I love her stuff. Like there's a few pictures that she has of some of her sort of processes and just cut out pieces of paper that are really beautiful.
Cool
and
shapes.
Weird shapes and they fit together and they don't. And it's just like, it reminds me of when you're a kid in elementary school and you're in an art class and you just get to play around with paper and make a thing. It's like the elevated, elegant.
You're a professional artist.
Version of that.
Getting paid to do it.
It's beautiful. It's playful. The colors are amazing. She cares a lot about color. Like there was one posting she had a little while ago that was almost exactly identical. And she's like, this one color of this one shape wasn't exactly right. So I had to go back and reformulate it and, change the Pantone name, whatever, change the code so that it was exactly perfectly right. And they look like fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks beautiful.
The same, but she's like, no, I had to change it. It's really bugging me. So anyway, her stuff is really beautiful. I feel like if I had it in my
big print of this or something.
Yeah. On the wall or in my bathroom or something. Or as a blanket. I think I would love it as a blanket or a bedspread.
Tea towels, blankets, any sort of surface.
Yeah, I love her stuff.
Right?
She's British.
Awesome.
Eloise Renouf. And I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that, but I'm in love.
Nice.
In love with that. Do we have an easy transition out of this one?
There's also an artist that I have been beholden to for quite some time. Miss Stephanie Germanotta, aka Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Gaga.
Has made her silver screen lead debut.
Yes.
In a remake of A Star Is Born. The movie itself gets a solid 4.5 out of 10 from me.
Okay.
Okay.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, it's basically a Nicholas Sparks movie on crack.
Oh, really?
I can see that.
Yeah.
I was so curious about it. I just read the Wikipedia entry, so I know what happens. I will see it eventually, but I just wanted to know what the full story was.
It just, it felt like all those movies that like my mom would get on DVD from the Blockbuster.
From the library or something.
Or the library. Mm-hmm. You know,
my mom loved that.
Yeah, exactly. Like my mom watched it and she loved it.
Oh, for sure.
My sister loved it. They cried. They loved it.
Got it.
Me and my brother went and saw it and we're like, the music's great, but I really can't stand Bradley Cooper.
No, there's that.
You gotta like Bradley
Cooper.
That's
a big point against
that level of.
I mean, he's
Cooper.
In cahoots with known asshole Clint Eastwood and played a murderer in a bunch
piece
of movies and got lauded for telling the story.
Also, he's just a super bro. Just feel like he's a hella bro. Although I will give him credit for his
he does
his
what Brad Pitt scene, does and not even as good.
Yeah, his first sex scene on camera was a gay sex scene in Wet Hot American Summer. Yeah, so we'll give him props for that.
Oh. Yeah, popping his little polo shirt collar.
Interesting.
Wet Hot Summer. Yes.
The music is beautiful.
So is that what we're talking?
The music is what we're really going to be talking about here. It's some gorgeous like love songs and some pop moments from Gaga. Bradley Cooper is not bad either, but his voice sounds different on every track that he's on. So there was some magic happening there.
He followed around Eddie Vedder for a while to learn how to sing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But singing is like being a good doctor. Sometimes you just aren't. You know,
there's only so much you can do.
There's only so much. Yeah, like you can probably teach someone to carry a tune, but like
to actually know how to really sing is a different.
I don't know.
Yeah,
he's never hit me good as an actor before. He's never really
never blown me away.
No,
He sort of always plays Bradley Cooper.
Yeah,
he doesn't play characters
even more so than Julia Roberts always plays Julia Roberts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the music is so delicious, especially the last song, which can only be described as a tribute to Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
And it's one of like the most vocally demanding tracks that Lady Gaga's ever put down, because I mean she's a hell of a singer, but it doesn't really take much for her to sing Telephone or Bad Romance or anything like that. You know, it's not like it's not an emotive song. It's not a Whitney Houston moment. That's for damn sure. But I was on heavy rotation for quite some time. Until I got back into a podcast.
I was
bender.
Curious about that one because I was pretty sure you would see it. And I was like, on the fence because I'm on the fence about Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to get some feedback before I get some money.
I'm like, I'll see this eventually.
I love Gaga because she came out at the time where what she had to say resonated with me. And I was her target market. I was her.
You were a little monster.
I was a little monster. I was a rural queer with no connection to anything except for MTV and fucking, I don't know,
the mall.
Much music in the mall. You know, that was her deal.
Yeah.
So I've liked her for a very long time, and I like her music, and I like what
you've
she
seen
stands
her live.
I mean, she's still a privileged white girl from New York who went to Tisch and like has the fallout that comes in with that, but. Her performance was very stage actor. When the camera is
right there,
2 feet from your face, you don't need to act for the back row.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, she kind of just like kind of overacted a lot. The performing arts school jumped out.
Yeah, the training kicked in.
There was no subtlety to that performance. It was always on. It was always right there on the surface. And the wigs were just I.
always comes back to the wigs.
Always the wig. Like the wigs are distracting at most of the point.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah. That
strike against him.
That red does not occur naturally in any ecosystem.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, maybe outside of a tropical ecosystem, but yeah. The music, 15 out of 10. The movie itself.
Well, there you go.
Four and a half.
Nice. Buy the soundtrack.
Yeah.
There you go. Listen to the soundtrack.
She'll probably win an Oscar for
the
music.
Watch the movie when it comes on TV for free.
Did she write? No, she didn't write the music, did she?
Yeah.
Oh, she did. Yeah.
Well, I thought it was like an existing set of songs.
No. Ah. She did. She,
I know
she
Bradley
does a
Cooper's
cover.
Getting a lot of stuff for him writing, directing. Not people are loving a lot of smoke up his ass.
Yeah, let's just see.
We'll see come February.
Yeah, exactly.
Award season, what happens.
How this all turns out. She'll probably get nominated for an acting Oscar, but I don't think she'll win.
Sure.
Because there's been really good performances this year.
Yeah.
Including Tilda and Suspiria.
Yeah. But the music will probably be nominated too, right?
Oh, definitely. It'll probably win for Best Original Song.
Yeah.
Easily. There's like four or five songs in that soundtrack that could win it.
You could easily
in a
take
second.
It. Yeah.
You know, like there's not been a song this year that's kind of eclipsed that soundtrack at all. You know, there's been no Disney song. There's been no like big musical that's been remade or whatever.
Sure, that's really taken over.
This is it. This is a moment.
There'll be some song shoehorned into some movie before the season.
Oh, God,
over.
Yeah. Just to get the nomination. They know they're not going to win.
Yeah. But they got to get in the game. Put their name out there.
Yeah. The Hollywood machine can make a lot of fucking money off of Lady Gaga if she has an Oscar sitting on her mantle. Oh, so she will get one.
Yeah.
Well, sure,
it's a matter
of
when,
right?
Not if.
Or not an Emmy, maybe
Golden Globe.
Golden Globe, yeah.
Yeah.
For American Horror Story.
That's funny, speaking of...
That was Kirsten Dunst, Golden Globe, but it's been a conversation for another time.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, her moment, like, her being there for your moment when you needed her kind of there, there's a movie Jonah Hill just wrote and directed called Mid-90s.
Mm. Oh,
that I really want to see.
I'm interested. Is the skateboarder?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested to see that too.
I really like Jonah Hill. Yeah. That is like, that's way more my people than than Lady Gaga's people.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you were in university when Gaga came out.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm quite curious about that just because I really like Jonah Hill. I think he's hilarious. I think he's proved himself.
He stays in his lane.
He's really funny. He doesn't take himself too seriously. Mm-hmm. He's not like a traditional attractive leading man.
Yeah.
But he's
looking at you, Bradley
Cooper. Yeah. And and who knew he could write and direct. Like,
yeah.
So I'm quite curious. I just watched Maniac 2 on.
Oh, that's on my list now. But I'm done with Sabrina.
Weird. It's weird as hell, but I enjoyed it. It's weird Japanese. There's lots of weird Japanese stuff happening that
I'm very interested in that.
Stylistically and thematically, so it was good.
I'm very interested.
Weird,
in that.
But I really liked it. It's not one of my obsessions. I didn't even have it written down, but
we'll sneak that one in there.
Nice. Yeah.
For the kids.
Yeah.
What's our time like?
An hour 16.
Oh boy, we got a couple. Do you have more? Do you have another one?
I do have one more. When I was moving, I found all my old CDs.
Oh yes.
So I was going through a lot of them, and a lot of them just getting thrown away. What else are you going to do with them?
Can you recycle CDs?
I think somewhere, maybe there's like a big recycling depot, like a zero waste facility here in Vancouver. I forget where it is, but they might take it. But yeah, all the paper recycling, all the booklets and stuff went in the recycling. But it's a CD that I totally forgot existed and I was obsessed with in 1997 called The Document. By a DJ by the name of Andy Smith. He's the DJ for Portishead, who was very, very important to me in the late 90s growing up when I was finishing high school. Portishead was very exciting and very interesting and very different and moody and dramatic.
Weird.
And bassy. And, but I forgot.
What was the look that you had when you were listening to this album? What was the moment? What was the attire?
Hair dyed black.
Mm-hmm.
I had a pair of big wide leg jeans, but like I'm not talking like Jean Co. like wide leg jeans.
Okay.
They were like a very wide flare that started from the thigh. It wasn't like the big stovepipe raver ones. Got them at Urban Outfitters, which was the coolest back in the day. I even got them like overseas because we didn't have Urban Outfitters where I lived.
The whispers of the store Urban Outfitters.
Yes.
That was.
They were dark wash. I had a pair of Diesel shoes that were like these like leather moccasin things that I wore the shit out of. I got those in Montreal, some random store on Saint Laurent. And then I don't
what do I have for a shirt? Just like a probably a baby tee because it was the late 90s. Maybe X-Girl or something. Ribbed? Something like that.
Like fine rib?
Maybe a fine rib. Some sort of stripe. Mm-hmm. And maybe a brown and orange and dark yellow, you know, as was the times. it was probably a baby tee, to be quite honest with you, because that's what you do. That's what you did when it was 1996. Anyway, I forgot this kind of music existed where you would listen to a DJ fuck with someone else's music. And there's scratching and there's cutting and there's overlaying of layers. And like, it's one of those, it's a CD. So it's like 12 tracks, which bums me out because I got to just like listen to it's over in 47 minutes or something. And it's the kind of CD where all the songs blend into each other. Like there's no track beginning and end because it's a DJ set and they layer over each other. So you can hear the next song coming in, one bit of it coming in, and then they fade out and they fade into the next one. But it's like, I bought the track list here, that it's the Jungle Brothers, which is a rap group, Marvin Gaye, Tom Jones, Peggy Lee, Spencer Davis Group. Like, it's all this super funky stuff, all layered on, like, the Tom Jones song is amazing. It's Peggy Lee sitting on the dock of the bay, but, like, great version of it. And I'm just, like, I just put it in the car and I fucking cranked to, like, 50. Like, I'm in my Subaru station wagon driving around without the kids. I only crank when the kids are not in the car with me. Grandmaster Flash. I mean, this is, like, heavy funky stuff, and it's but scratching and like hip hop into it too, and fuck, it's so good, and it makes me want to go back and find all these like DJ Shadow CDs and DJ Q-Bert and all these DJ Logic and all these people I was obsessed with 20 years ago that I haven't even thought of.
I bet there's like Spotify playlists that you could,
for sure, absolutely. And there's other, he did other document mixes afterwards. He's got two or three. I have like document two, document three.
Ooh.
And they're all on like SoundCloud and stuff now. And so I'm digging. I just keep listening to this one CD again because it's just so good. But now I need to like branch out and like plug my phone and my Spotify into my car because that's the only place I can really listen to music loudly.
Right.
That's when I'm alone in my car.
Right.
And like, you're going to hear me a block away. Yeah. And I don't care.
See, this is where you really get to see the difference between Abby, who grew up in cosmopolitan Europe, and then me, who grew up in the middle of nowhere, Canada. That like
somewhere in between.
Yeah, yes, you literally. Like, yeah,
yeah.
I like the most obscure thing that I listened to growing up from like in the 90s when I was 4 or 5 years old. Like I was listening to music with my aunt, who's the same age as Abby. Was like Ace of Base. Ooh. And Savage Garden.
Yes. Yeah.
That was like cool. It wasn't being played on the radio.
Yeah.
Maybe the single was on the radio, but my aunt like loved the deep cuts and like therefore it felt different.
Yeah, it felt cool.
Yeah. And then like the Cher discography was played a lot, and like the ABBA Gold album was like from my meme, and then all the classic country and all that stuff. Like Wanda Jackson, all that like badass queens of country and not
Bros of country.
Yeah. Yes, so give me the weird, you know, British DJs and Japanese DJs.
Yeah.
And I owe that to Sheila, my Aunt Sheila. That's who owe it to.
I got all the punk rock.
Yeah, there
that
you go.
That was what we listened to. If it wasn't on the radio. Unlike live.
Yes, because there's no like there was a lot of studio live recordings.
That's not. No. I mean live.
Oh,
the
going
band.
To the bands. Gotcha. Yeah.
Live the band. But yeah, the like heavier, I mean, the punk rock that I listened to was not particularly heavy.
Sure.
But it wasn't the stuff that was being played on the radio.
Yes.
You know, wasn't, and there was a sprinkling certainly of Ace of Base and Shania Twain and Madonna and Ray of Light and all of that.
Oh, Ray of Light.
All that good Such stuff. A good album. But yeah, punk rock shit. That was where I was.
Yeah, there you go.
Give me that plaid pants with a bootleg cut.
Yeah.
Yep. Give me that fake Doc Martens because I can't say yeah, real
or skater shoes. Sure.
Oh my god,
with
you
the
guys,
fat tongue.
That's just yes, reminded
oh
me.
Oh my god, I had a pair of DCs that were like ridiculous.
Oh yeah, that real fat,
yeah.
ridiculous,
unnecessarily.
Yes,
like
tongue,
plushy tongue.
Plush, yeah. I was gonna tell you guys this is so good. Last week, Chris went and got it. He needed a new pair of shoes. He needed a new pair of Chucks, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at this little shop on Granville Street. It's like
this sells the Chucks.
The
yes,
Chuck store.
Yes, the Chuck store.
And they also have Doc Martens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have a bunch, hey?
And there was a little girl
there.
Yeah, that's a good spot. There was a little girl there with her mom. And the girl was like maybe 9 or 10,
okay.
probably. Like somewhat independent, but
I was
not
say, getting into that,
making your own decisions yeah. about what you're wearing. Yeah, she was there. So this thrilled me. She was trying on the most adorable, delightful. It was like it was like the biggest kid size that they had or the smallest adult size, probably
yeah.
the biggest kid size.
Yeah.
Of those brown Doc Martens, that like purpley brown with the floral
oh,
print.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar.
The 8-inch high ones,
yes.
like not the hella high, but like,
they're high.
You know the
yeah.
ones.
Yeah.
They're high for a 9-year-old.
16 holes or something, sure, yeah.
And the mom is just sort of standing back and the kid is like bright eyes.
So
excited.
Stoked.
She's made this decision and her mom says to her, she's like, well, you can get them, but you're going to have to do all the tying and lacing on your own.
Yeah.
Like you made this decision. This is a big girl shoe. You're going to have to, if you're okay with that, it's going to take a while in the mornings to do it. And I was like, yes, this girl, like, pump me up. Like, yes, get those shoes, bitch. Get
they
them.
They are worth the 5 minutes it takes
it.
To put on. You're going to feel
and,
so badass.
And the blisters that
you're
going to have for 2 weeks.
To break them in.
Yeah.
yeah. You're going to feel so cool.
She was just beaming. I was like, yes, I know that girl. I was
Did it have the yellow stitching?
Yep.
Around.
Oh, yeah.
That
delish.
Gummy shoe, yeah.
that
gummy
rubbery
sole. Yeah, it pumped me up. And she's like, well, we can get them, but you have to do the laces. She's like, I'll do it. It was so great. I was like, she's learning.
It begins.
She's coming along nicely.
It begins. Oh, fabulous.
It's like whenever I see Margot in like a self-done makeup look.
Yes, just
a nice
outfit.
I just need to send Abby. I'm so proud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. She's very
so
into
funny.
It.
She loves turning a look.
She was fucking so, my daughter was so excited for the green face makeup. Like full on like
the witch makeup.
Witch makeup.
My favorite is
she
like, are you a good witch or a bad witch? I'm a bad witch.
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Insisted on the blood coming out of her mouth.
Really? I didn't know that. Good for her.
And I insisted on the glittery eyeshadow. That was just my part of it. I'm like, ooh, glittery eyeshadow. Wet and wild from Shoppers Drug Mart. Wow. Here we go.
That is so funny.
She was very excited. I had to like put the green makeup like away with the Halloween stuff. So it's mm-hmm. not like, we're not doing this once a week.
No.
Like,
there's no chance that this is coming out again.
No.
That's funny. We, Leslie, my sister, she decides what everyone is doing for Halloween. You don't get a choice. Like this year, in fact, this year my niece is 8 and she's like, mommy, can I please pick what I want to be for Halloween this year? And Leslie's like,
nope.
No. This is my favorite thing in the world.
You have,
I'll tell you when you can decide, yes. but I'm afraid you're still mine. And they went as ninjas and they were like a whole family of ninjas.
Oh,
so fucking cute. Adorable. Sneaky, full covered face, like really good costume. Yeah. She's like, can I be what I want to be? She's like, no, I love this too much. It's mommy's favorite thing.
This is my time.
One day you'll get to pick your own, but
you'll have your own parties to
not
go
this
to.
Year. Yeah.
But it's not here now.
There'll come a time where you have more than one Halloween party to attend.
Yes.
Yes.
And you'll be okay. Yeah. You can go as a unicorn princess to one and then, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're doing Wizard of Oz as a family.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
They would never do Wizard of Oz.
Like zombie Wizard of Oz.
This year you're
going to
be Wednesday Addams and you're going to like it.
Yeah.
And we're going to make you look fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't touch your face.
Yeah. She went 1 year as, they went as like rock gods, the whole family.
Oh, yeah.
So Jack, who's little, he was Angus Young with the little
schoolboy
outfit.
Yes, little shorts. Yeah.
Shorts. So cute. My sister was Slash. My brother-in-law was D. Snyder from Twisted Sister with like the big hair and the makeup, and the big shoulders and the pink boots and everything. Yeah. And Lucy was Gene Simmons with like the full kiss makeup. So they, for Halloween, like for trick or treating, they all went as a family and it all made sense. But just for like school,
just Gene Simmons as a 5-year-old kid or a 7-year-old kid.
And all of her friends are like, who are you dressed as? She's like, I'm a rock monster. I don't really know. She had no idea what it was. And all the parents and teachers are like, yes. I don't know. I'm a rock monster.
Oh my God.
The pictures are amazing.
Beautiful.
Oh, so good. So good. Then they do like the DIY style costumes, yes, which are always so fun.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. It's the best. You're thinking about those in August.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
If not earlier.
Yeah, my sister thinks about it all year round. That's why Lucy doesn't get a choice.
Months and months of effort.
Sorry, this
here.
Is mom's favorite thing.
Yeah.
You don't get to decide. Anyway.
Oh, man.
Anywho, are we? We should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
I think we're.
It's an hour and a half. It's 1 o'clock. We should get going.
I think I have all of my obsessions are out on the table.
Mm.
At least for the next 2 weeks.
For now. So. Yeah. For now.
But we'll
You'll have to find another one for next time anyway, so it's fine.
Should not be a problem.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, we haven't seen you in a bit, but we're still there.
Yes.
And we're still on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff.
All
you
that
can still
stuff.
Email us at fashionhags@gmail.com. We're trying to line up some guests in the near future if we can find the fourth microphone.
Now that we have the studio set up,
we'll
it's not like a waiting game of when is this going to be happening again. Yeah.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. So let us know what you think.
If you like what you hear, tell your friends.
Yes.
And give us a nice rating on iTunes. Rate, review.
Yes, please.
You really like that.
Subscribe.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Just remember.
That's all we got for now.
I just have one last statement. I just want to let the Haglitz know that our Lord and Savior, Miss Jasmine Masters, was a guest on Whimsically Volatile, and that is an absolutely necessary piece of programming
that you need to download. Oh, you were talking about it.
And
consume?
Take a moment. Into yourself. Let it fortify you, because that's what it did for me. If you're having a bad day, just listen to the pure, uninhibited joy that is Miss Jasmine Masters. The Jush.
I'm downloading right now.
There's so much wisdom and guidance and necessary joy that human being puts out into the world.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was
we need
say,
it
for these dark
the States,
times.
Yes. Vote, but this won't come out in time. This will come out the day after.
So yeah.
You motherfuckers better vote.
We'll all,
fingers are crossed. We really need you guys to fix this.
Oh, please.
Yeah, but we all know that democracy is a broken system.
Yes.
That is true.
The system works just fine. The system works the way it's supposed to.
That's true.
Soul crushing.
Yeah. It's almost like American democracy was created by a bunch of white slave owners.
Oh, weird. She didn't want anybody but themselves to benefit and prosper.
Benefited society as a whole.
We need to stop this right here. We have to go. I have to eat. This is a different podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. So thanks so much for listening, you guys. Thanks for your patience and us being back to you with this hiatus. We love you so much. We do love you.
Yes, we do love you.
We do. But we love Fashion Wire.
Yes, we do. Bye.
Bye.